This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for September 30th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pinchem. Topics covered in the articles in this podcast are vascular disorders, neurosurgical history, and stereotactic radiosurgery. Cerebral cavernous malformations, from genes to proteins to disease, a clinical article by Daniel Cavalcanti and colleagues. The exact mechanism underlying the pathogenesis of cerebral cavernous malformations, or CCMs, is unknown. However, studies of families with autosomal dominant inherited and sporadic CCMs have shed light on the importance of the mechanisms involved in the proliferation and differentiation of angiogenic precursors and members of the apoptotic machinery as key regulators of the pathogenesis of CCM. Despite the utility of animal models, they have inherent shortcomings, such as low expression of the desired phenotype. The generation of an in vivo human model via the isolation of CCM progenitor cells and their transplantation into an immunodeficient animal may allow for the study of the human forms of CCMs. It would also provide a robust model for imaging and drug trials. Another exciting frontier of research is the sequencing of the entire genome of patients afflicted with CCM by using next-generation sequencing technology. Obtaining the full genomic profile of patients with multiple CCMs will provide further clues about the role of other genes and gene regulatory machinery, such as small RNAs, in the pathogenesis of CCMs. The History of Pituitary Surgery for Cushing Disease, a historical vignette by Gautam Unmil Mehta and co-authors. In 1912, Harvey Cushing described the first patient with what is now known as Cushing disease. Although he was a pioneer of pituitary surgery and the premier neurosurgeon of his day, Dr. Cushing never operated on the pituitary gland of a patient with Cushing disease. Other surgeons at the time were reluctant to operate on the pituitary due to the normal cella on skull radiographs in Cushing disease and the unclear etiology of the disorder. The first operation to selectively remove the small benign tumor causing the disorder was not performed until a half century later, in 1963, by Dr. Jules Hardy in Quebec, Canada. This report explains the basis of the long latency between Harvey Cushing's initial report and that first successful surgery, and describes the circumstances of the surgery and its outcome. Improvement in executive function after unilateral carotid artery stenting for severe asymptomatic stenosis. A clinical article by Oscar Mendez and co-workers. The clinical benefits of carotid artery stenting have been widely recognized in symptomatic and asymptomatic patients. However, research concerning the effects of this surgical procedure on cognitive functioning is both scarce and controversial. In their study, Mendez and colleagues compared the pre- and post-surgical neuropsychological performance of patients with unilateral and asymptomatic internal carotid artery stenosis who underwent carotid artery stenting. Cognitive domains examined included global cognitive status, memory, attention, language, visuoperceptual abilities, and executive functions. An improvement was specifically found on tasks measuring executive functioning, a complex cognitive domain which includes subprocesses such as working memory, mental flexibility, and processing speed. In addition, improved performance scores were observed after carotid artery stenting, both on verbal and visual memory. Both executive functions and memory rely strongly on the integrity of the prefrontal cortex, which is in turn supplied by the internal carotid artery. As such, it is likely that improvement on executive functioning and memory may result from hemodynamic normalization of prefrontal brain areas following carotid revascularization. This study reveals that benefits of revascularization in patients with asymptomatic carotid artery stenosis are not limited to improved hemodynamic parameters per se, but rather have an additional positive impact on cognition. Outcomes of Gamma Knife Surgery for Trigeminal Neuralgia Secondary to Vertebrobasilar Ectasia, a clinical article by Kyung J. Park and colleagues. 20 patients underwent Gamma Knife Surgery for medically refractory trigeminal neuralgia associated with vertebrobasilar ectasia. The median patient age was 74 years. Prior surgical procedures had failed in 11 patients. The median maximum target dose for Gamma Knife surgery was 80 gray. The treatment outcomes were compared with 80 case-matched controls who underwent Gamma Knife surgery for trigeminal neuralgia that was not associated with vertebrobasilar ectasia. Intraoperative MR imaging, or CT scanning, revealed vertebrobasilar ectasia that deformed the brainstem in 50% of patients. The trigeminal nerve was displaced in cephalad or lateral planes in 60%. In 4 patients, the authors could identify only the distal cisternal component of the trigeminal nerve as it entered into the Meckel cave. Satisfactory pain control, defined as Barrow Neurological Institute grades 1 to 3B, was achieved and maintained in 10 of 12 patients at a median follow-up of 29 months. Some degree of facial sensory dysfunction occurred in 10% of patients. Eventually, 14 patients underwent an additional surgical procedure. At the last follow-up, 15 patients had satisfactory pain control. Compared to patients without vertebrobasilar ectasia, patients with this disorder were much less likely to have initial or lasting pain relief. Multimodality surgical or medical management strategies were required in most patients with vertebrobasilar ectasia. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.